The first reading is almost humorous. The Holy Spirit gave Paul exactly the right words to blow the whole meeting up. Because he said, as you just heard, you see, I am on trial for hope in the resurrection of the dead. Now he saw, because they were his colleagues, you know, he saw them and he said, there's Pharisees and Sadducees here. The Sadducees, you see, only accept the Torah. The other books, the prophets and the writings, they're good writings, but only the Torah. So the resurrection from of the dead is not in the Torah, it's not revealed. Now notice Jesus' kindness when they argue with him. And what does he say? You see? Well, he says, what does God say to Moses? And later on, elsewhere, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Therefore, you're wrong not to accept it. Do you see how he argued from the Torah? Out of gentleness, discretion. He didn't want to crush them. He wanted to bring them along. And so he argued from the Torah. Didn't seem to make much difference, but you know, when we get our heads stuck on something, it takes a miracle to move us along. And that's what happened here to these Sadducees, you see. So then the Holy Spirit inspired Paul. Just throw the whole meeting into disorder and you'll be all right. So as you read here, you just heard, I am a Pharisee, the son of Pharisees. I am on trial for hope in the resurrection of the dead. Bingo, he knew they'd have this huge argument now. And so the centurion said, they're going to kill this guy. They better get a hold of him. They got him out. And that was the end of that meeting. That was the Holy Spirit who did that. It's funny. But I thought you'd be interested in what was going on there. Now we're starting, well, we're not starting, we're continuing chapter 17. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, I pray not only for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. That word has gone now for 2 millennia. The declaration of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the living Son of God. So I'm praying for all those who will believe in me, that they may all be one. Why? Well, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. Do you ever think of what the oneness is we're supposed to be involved in here? I'm nice to you, and you're nice to me. That, you know, good pagans do that much. No, to be one means to be interpenetrating one another by love, just like the Father and the Son. That means no anger, no resentment, no fear, no gossip, no whatever. Because the Father and the Son don't do that, do they? And we've got to stop it. There's no room for that. And if we are really one, see, as this he says, see, that the world may believe that you sent me, if they see you, that's what he's saying to us this morning. You remember, when this is read, as Vatican II reminds us, it is still Christ proclaiming his gospel. It's not me. I read it. And I'm a priest and I have a grace to read it in a particular way. But it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself still proclaiming his gospel. So he's talking here about being one. And it's interesting. Huh? How does Paul get out of trouble in the first reading? He breaks up their unity. And here, the same thing. See? That the world may believe that you sent me. If we were one, so where does Satan go? To divide the church. To divide every part of the church. We got something like 7,000 sects or more, 70,000 maybe. It's a lot. Everybody's his own pope. And it's a mess. And that's why the world does not believe. If we were one, the world would believe. So we can apply it in a simple way to the community, for one thing. If we're really one, people will be attracted. My goodness, what a way to live. Look at the way they care for each other. And just all these Christians here in Montgomery Village, they're of one mind. Well, we don't even talk to one another. I mean, we ought to have we used to years ago have these ecumenical meetings during Unity Octave, January 18 to 25. Maybe we should reinstate that. Get together. I wanted to have one year, a day of prayer in regard to abortion. Some of these guys couldn't join me because they don't think abortion's wrong. Well, how the heck are we going to be one? See? I have given them the glory you gave me. We're talking about the life in the Trinity. And Jesus comes and just pours it out on us. The doxa, the glory. The glory you gave me from all eternity. I gave it to them. That was the fruit of my death and resurrection, you see. And if they also be in us, you see, one, that the world may believe that you sent me. That's the first apostolic duty of the church, is to be one. Understand? We can have all sorts of lone rangers flying around doing very dramatic things, but the world won't believe because it doesn't come from the center, the church, the Christ. And so we got some work to do, right? Now listen to this unity now. I in them and you in me. That means when he is in us, the Father is in us. You see? That they may be brought to perfection, in this translation, as one. See what work we got to do? In the family, in the community, in the whole Catholic Church, and that's just the beginning. Then the whole sadly divided mess we're in. Is that work? Oh, yes, that's work. And where you have people with a heart for it, it's beautiful. I'm thrilled what's going on with the Orthodox. I mean, you know, it was 1098. That's a couple days ago that they broke. And now we're working together to get it back together. I told you about that, the meeting in body, you know. Now the last part, and we have to move on. Father, they are your gift to me. So we are the Father's gift to Jesus. Isn't that remarkable? I mean, you would think, you know, he could have given him something better than that, you know. But no, that's the most precious thing God has, is us. He loves the angels, but I mean, they're easy to deal with. And we're not. And he said, Jesus, my son, they're all yours. Pour out your blood for them. Heal them. Forgive them. And let them be one. Do you see what that means? I am not allowed to have one suspicious, angry thought against anybody, ever. That's a real discipline, right? You know, because we're all egomaniacs, and anything that I don't, you know, somebody, I don't know, steps on my toe, bad person. Maybe they're a saint, you know. And so, then, how's it all going to happen? I wish that where I am, they also may be with me. So we've already got like 1 foot in heaven. Okay? That they may see my glory that you gave me. Why? Because you loved me before the foundation of the world. But if we have that appreciation of who Jesus is, we will fight for unity. First fight is with ourselves. I can't say, you be one, can I? I got to say, I have to be one. And I have to be one, you see, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us. Why? That the world may believe that you sent me. Even if we were one, it'd be a miracle. The whole world would say, my gosh, look at the way they care for each other. And we're all weak, you know. When are we going to die to our resentments, our memories of this and that happened to me and that one did this to me? Forget it. Suppose Jesus did that. Man, we would be in trouble. Right? I'd hate to meet Jesus on Judgment Day, the day or when I die, and have him say, these are the things you did to me. Whew. Okay. I have